Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we do pray that all is well today, especially with our souls. And we thank you that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, our lives are transformed. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us. And as we're learning through this series, that we have the opportunity to live a life of abundance when we focus solely on you. So, Lord, today, as we've gathered together, both physically and online, we pray that your Spirit would open up a heart today, touch a life. As is a common prayer here, may no one leave this room the same as they entered. Lord, use us for your mighty and glory and honor and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's time for the kids to go to Kids Connection. Hey, nice to have you here. Before I get into content this morning, I just want to remind you that, myself and Matthew Burkholder, who played drums today, we have a podcast called Theology Jam, and we just recently released a podcast with Nadia Zaversanik, who is director of New Life Prison Ministries. And it's really a wonderful conversation about that ministry. So if you have anything, there's a number of our people that actually work with New Life, and it was a really eye-opening. But this Thursday, we're releasing another podcast with Paul Estabrooks, who works for Hope Mission, and they work in Israel. And, they actually work with the Palestinians and the Israelis, and it's just a fascinating conversation about what is happening over there. So if you're interested in hearing, people who work on the ground in Israel and the things that they're doing, because they have a seminary, Bethlehem Seminary over there, just some amazing things. So I'm really excited about our podcast. We interview some amazing people, have some amazing conversations. So I just wanted to let you know about that because I know many of you are really interested in what is happening around the world, especially in Israel right now. All right, we are talking about abundant life, and we're into the third part of our series. Now, this series, eight-part series, is based on a statement that Jesus made in John 10:10. He said, "I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly," this rich, satisfying life. Now, I don't know about you, but if you heard somebody say that to you, I promise to give you a better life than what you're experiencing right now. Many of us would probably, think in terms of material better, things materially better or wrongly misconstrue that I'm going to be able to pray and get everything I ever prayed for or misconstrue and think that you're going to be blessed every time that you ask God to bless you and all those kinds of things. But I want to just challenge you because what Jesus is teaching here is really profound and very provocative. And I'm going to unpack another element of this week. And, the John 10 passage is Jesus talking to the crowd saying, guess what? See these religious leaders, these shepherds, don't listen to their voices, okay? Because they're kind of leading you astray. But I am the good shepherd is what Jesus says, And those that follow me know my voice, hear my voice. And if you love me, you will obey my commandments. These are really profound and provocative statements, And Jesus talks about the voice that you should be listening to.
Now, I think this is really important because to have an abundant life, I believe, begins with recognizing what voice you should be heeding in your life. Okay? We have all kinds of noise in our culture. What voice should you be heeding in your life? You can listen to culture. I think that point is going to come up on the PowerPoint very soon. You can listen to the voice of culture. You can listen to relational voices, and some of them may be toxic in your life. You may be listening to the voice that's kind of narrating your life inside your own head. There's all kinds of voices that we can listen to that aren't necessarily healthy for us. Jesus says to listen to my voice, to heed what I say, because that is the voice of truth. That is the voice of love. That is the voice of compassion. That's the voice of mercy. That is the voice of forgiveness. It has so many things attached to it. And to have an abundant life, I think at the kind of ground zero level is we have to understand what voice we are hearing and what voice we are following. That is the first thing we have to do when it comes to living an abundant life. Because if you're hearing the wrong voices, and isn't it true that the evil one, that's what he wants to do. He wants to implant a narrative inside you, to you, that is contrary to anything that God wants to plant into your life. Because he is the father of lies. There's nothing that the evil one wants to implant in you that's going to be good or healthy or even normal. And the more lies that you believe, the more difficult it becomes for you to even comprehend right and wrong, or where we need to plant our feet firmly. So the very first thing that Jesus says back in chapter 10 of John is to be careful of the voice that you are listening to. And last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives at the point of belief. And even though we talk in terms of empowerment and all this kind of stuff, part of the reason I believe that we are given the Spirit of God is so we learn to discern truth. We learn to discern the lies. We learn to discern what voice we should be listening to. Here's another thing. I didn't kind of get into it last week because of time. But the other thing about the Spirit of God, it expands our human capacity. You know, when it comes to things like being able to love in a divine way, we need the Spirit of God to expand our capacities for compassion, mercy, forgiveness, all of those kinds of things. Many of us were not able to forgive somebody until we became a believer. Why? Because suddenly we had the capacity to do something that humanly we were unable to do. Because something happened inside of us. We were transformed by the Spirit of God. We were transformed by the truth of Jesus Christ. And suddenly, we had the capacity to forgive in a way that wasn't humanly easy for us before. Because we were just given, something that was divinely beyond us. You guys tracking with me? Okay? All right. So this week, I know I just gave you a whole theological framework that wasn't necessarily very applicable, but we're going to talk about a topic today, this thing called rest, which is another element of this abundant living that Jesus talked about. Because is it fair to say we have a lot of unrest and restlessness in today's culture? Like, I think that's pretty standard. And yet Jesus promised something that in the midst of the world that we live in is opposite to what the world gives us. So, here we go. This was read during the worship time, so I'm going to read it again. Here's a really familiar passage that most of us have have, you know, known for many, many years, but here it is. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This Greek word can also mean refresh you as well. Okay? Kind of put you back in a reoriented state. "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your schedule." You will find rest for your relationships. I don't know about you, but it talks about rest for your soul. There are a lot of people or a lot of worldviews that will promise some kind of rest. Rest from your job. Rest from, you know, your stressful situation or all that kind of stuff. Jesus doesn't go there. The rest he gives you is something deeply embedded in a place where nothing else can touch. For your soul. Now, this is a powerful invitation. And most of the time, we want to focus on the yoke that Jesus gives. You know, this is an agricultural term, you know, and the ox that has that heavy kind of thing around its neck and it's pulling the cart, that's the yoke. And Jesus says, you know, that's the burden that's weighing you down. Take it off, give it to me, and I'll give you something much lighter and something you can manage, et cetera, et cetera. But what really, really excites me about this particular verse is the invitation itself. I think we miss the power of the invitation. Okay? If I was to go to you one by one and say, "What are you tired of right now?" Some of you might say, "Well, I got a really good night's sleep. And I'm actually okay. I'm not that tired." But if I was to ask you about, "Are you tired about things in life right now?" Most of you would say, "Yeah." If I was to ask you, "Are you carrying something that you would love to just give away? That you don't want to carry anymore because it's heavy and it's hard and it kind of, you know, hurts me emotionally, it adds anxiety into my life," all of that kind of stuff. That's the power of this particular invitation, is that it's encompassing everyone and all the simple things of life that add as a burden into our lives. I don't know, there are very few things in life that you add into your life that doesn't add a responsibility or an additional burden or an additional thing that you have to take care of, no matter what it is. There's something to just living life that piles onto us stuff. And there's many of us that would love to just say, "Okay, here's the stuff." Okay? Our lives are like the garage. Okay? We actually have a little house for our stuff. Right? And put a roof over it. Most of us can't get the car in the garage, right? Why? Too much. Yeah. Too much stuff. And have you ever had that feeling where you've cleaned things out and you go, "Should have done that 10 years ago." There is stuff in your personal garage that you would love to have gotten rid of 10 years ago. Stuff in your personal garage. I love verse 29. We start to unpack it. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." Okay? That's basically an invitation from Jesus. Come and follow me. Come and serve me. Okay? Take my yoke upon you. This is what I'm going to give you. Second thing that comes out of this particular passage, it says, "Let me teach you." Right? That's the next part of this. "Let me teach you." I feel this is a transformative statement. Okay? In other words, Jesus is saying, let me be the primary voice in your life. For every moment that you say, I'm not good enough, for every moment you say, I'm not worthy enough, for every moment you say, I don't deserve this, for every moment that says, of course it would happen to me and nobody else, Jesus says, let me teach you something about who you are. Let me teach you something about why I came, sacrificed myself for you. Let me tell you about who you really are in God's sight. You might listen to those other voices, but what they'll teach you will only add to your anxiety and your misery and a wrong interpretation of how valuable you are. But let me teach you, and I can transform you, because you listen to the right voice, you become what God intended you to be. Here's the next thing. Why should I trust Jesus? You can trust Jesus because he's humble and gentle at heart. It's not a fake. Notice that it says at heart. He's humble and gentle. Okay? He's not going to say, you made your bed, lie in it. How many times have I told you? But I'm humble and gentle. What I will tell you is that you are deeply loved, but I'm going to teach you things that are going to make you better, even though sometimes they're going to be hard. So this is why I should trust Jesus. Many of us have problems trusting somebody else because they weren't gentle or humble. In fact, they used it as a weapon against us. Jesus doesn't do that. And here's the last thing. What will I receive in return? I'll tell you what you'll receive in return. You'll receive a deep-seated peace, a deep-seated rest for the very core of who you are. And there's going to be stuff going all around in your life. You're going to say, hey, you know what? I got rest in Jesus. Praise God. Doesn't matter what you throw at me, it doesn't matter what you tell me, but I know what voice I need to be listening to, and that makes all the difference in the world. You guys tracking with me? Isn't that a beautiful verse? Isn't that just, like, doesn't that just paste that up on, you know, actually paste it on your forehead so people see it, okay? And say, what are you talking, this is who I am. Doesn't matter what you say. Right? And that's how Jesus ends it, you know? For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. That's such a beautiful passage. And Jesus promises to give you this kind of rest. And there we are. Okay? For Jesus here, life is far easier. Jesus is saying, you know, life is hard, okay? Right? You know? But if you follow me, life will become more manageable. Doesn't mean all your problems are going to go away. Doesn't mean you're going to get blessed every turn. It doesn't mean you're going to have every prayer answered and all that stuff. But you're going to have a peace in your soul that nothing else can give you, that allows you to manage the ups and downs and seasons of life in a way that everybody goes, what is wrong with you? Okay, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Okay, the peace that passes all understanding. Because humanly speaking, no one can understand how you're managing it. Okay? So resting in Jesus is not about the physical only, but also embraces the emotional, the relational, the intellectual, and the spiritual. It's this whole person idea. And a lot of times we think, you know, the rest is all about, you know, I have little conflict in my life and the world is, you know, conflictless and all of that. But Jesus isn't even going there. Jesus talks about this deep-seated peace and rest that exists within us while everyone else is in turmoil. Okay? Now, I did say, you know, rest in the Bible is closely related to another theme, and you probably already guessed it, but this thing of peace, okay, is very, very important. So I'm going to go back to John's Gospel. I'm going to go back to John 14, and I'm going to start at verse 27. And here's Jesus. He has just got done talking to the disciples, telling them, I'm sending you another, you know, advocate just like me, the Paraclete, and here's the Holy Spirit coming. That's a big promise. And then Jesus says in verse 27, I am leaving you a gift. I'm leaving you a gift. And here's the gift, a gift of peace of mind and heart. Now, I happen to think of this statement, this peace of heart and mind, or mind and heart, is quoted very many times in the New Testament. And as I said, Apostle Paul quotes it in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is a really important thing. This is grammatically what we call a merism, okay, a little bit of grammar terminology. But when I say to you the four corners of the earth, what do you think? The whole earth, right? That's a merism, a general statement that depicts a whole type thing. So when Jesus says peace of mind and heart, it means everything you think and everything you feel, everything that you are humanly speaking, I will give you peace. That's a big promise, isn't it? That's huge. I'm feeling the anxiety, but I am living with the peace of Jesus. I can feel the thoughts starting in my head, but I can live with the peace of Jesus. Huge, huge. Let me just go on and finish this up. All right, here's the rest of the passage. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you will be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. So Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, etc., etc. There's a little phrase in there that bothers some people, because the Father is greater than I am. Okay, Gospel of John has this huge tension where Jesus knows exactly what's coming next, but at the same time, he's doing the Father's will. Okay, so there's a huge tension there. Basically, what Jesus is saying in this particular passage is that the Father has everything under control. You know, this is part of God's plan, and it will work out for the better because nothing is greater than God. Okay, that's very simply what that's saying. But Jesus says something profound here. That one, you know, what is the first, one of the first things we teach our kids? And I know maybe that's too general a question, but don't we often try to teach our kids that life is not fair? Oh, maybe we don't. Good, okay, good. Phew. I thought everybody's going to think, you're a mean dad. Yeah. You taught your kids, right? But life is unfair, okay? You know what I think the second lesson we should teach our kids? The world will never give you peace. It's impossible, impossible. The world cannot tolerate peace in any way, shape, or form. If you know, I've lived long enough to think that we can manage peace, but the truth is, the world cannot manage peace. The world cannot give us peace. It's impossible. I think that's rule number two. Life is unfair, and don't look to the world to give you peace, because it cannot. And this is what Jesus is saying. It's not even possible for them to do it. And sometimes I wonder, We get so anxiety-ridden by the world and everything that's happening, but the reality is it's just being what it normally is. A place of unrest and no peace. Okay? We can't tolerate peace. So if you struggle with resting in Jesus, you're going to struggle with finding peace in your life. If you're having difficulty recognizing what voice you should listen to, you're going to have difficulty finding peace in your soul. Because only Jesus could give us the peace that passes all understanding, that allows us to navigate the ups and downs of life and to have the absolute confidence that God is in control and Jesus is going to minister to us when nothing else in this world can. You know, we have a motto here at Village Green about exploring life. But when we talk about exploring life, we're talking about exploring life through the way of Jesus. That Jesus has taught us and has given us lessons about how to live a life that others would envy because it's not caught up in all the, can I say, drama? That there's so many people chasing the drama, and Jesus promises rest for our souls in the midst of all of it. And we don't have to be caught up in that. So here at Village Green, I think this is a beautiful motto because it is at the heart of what we believe the church is all about. That as all the drama's going on up there and people are looking for peace and trying to figure out, why everything is falling apart, that within these sacred walls and within the people who gather together and the people who claim Jesus as Lord, we can explore life together and live it more profoundly and live it more intentionally and live it with, a fraction of the anxiety that the rest of the world lives with, because we live with a peace that passes all understanding, because Jesus said he'll give us rest for our souls. I love what Eugene Peterson said. This is the last statement I want to make. The Jesus way, wedded to the Jesus truth, brings about the Jesus life. And I think that's just a beautiful kind of summary of what your life should look like. Amen. I think to live a life that Jesus said would be rich and satisfying has more to do as well with the things we let go and the things that we consider important to keep in our lives. So my prayer for us is that we learn to live an abundant life because we're leaning heavily on the voice of Jesus and his way alone. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. Just very profound statements. But Lord, when we start to unpack the truth that you so eloquently have given us, that has been passed down through the centuries, what a difference it makes to our lives. So Lord, we thank you for this morning. We pray that as we leave this place, that our minds would be focused on you and the ability to experience abundance, but abundance as you have defined it. Something that rests deep in our souls, that allows us to be confident in the life that you have given us and the truth that we have heard, and be able to do so in a way that alleviates so much of the drama and the anxiety that so many people live with. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.